This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
You can imagine that, of course, being in Rome, it's celebrated in such beautiful ways. And we did get to lead the Holy Thursday church walk throughout the city of Rome. And that was just such a beautiful experience of the wonderfully decorated altars of repose. And then, of course, the Colosseum, the Good Friday stations, and beautiful vigil mass here. And then, of course, Sunday, the big day, was also filled with lots of celebrations. There were various celebrations at different homes that day. And so it was a great opportunity, of course, for Friends of Rome to get together and to rejoice and to sing Alleluia, finally.
Absolutely. And I saw that massive, huge crowd on Easter Sunday in St. Peter's Square, which was the scene for this morning's Wednesday audience for the Holy Father, once again outside for the first time since the pandemic started.
Exactly. The first time in over 2 years. And it really is, it's just very joyful to see the square filled again. And we had a beautiful sunny day today, which was just another gift as we see a little bit of normalcy returning back to Rome. And today, Pope Francis spoke about the importance of loving and honoring the elderly. You know, you may remember that he had been doing a special series on the elderly, and then the last few weeks had been speaking about the situation in Ukraine and about the need for peace, but he's gone back to continue this series. And he looked to Scripture, particularly to the book of Sirach today, saying that Scripture opens up a way for showing how we love and honor elders and those who've gone before us. He said that that honor that's shown to the elderly is also seen as a fulfillment of God's commandment to honor thy mother and father. And it's not just about honoring one's particular father and mother. It's also about the many generations that have gone before. And he said the dignity of all life should be valued, and defined dignity as the value of respecting and caring for the life of everyone around. And he said that dignity is equivalent to showing honor. And so in order for this to happen, it is essential that young people are educated about life and about all of its stages. And he noted that through the Word of God, through the book of Sirach, chapter 3, it shows the frailty of old age, which is marked by, he said, the experiences of confusion and despondency and loss and abandonment and disillusionment and doubt that is shown in Sirach. He said it's so necessary to reach out to anyone who might be feeling that way, but he warned against doing it out of a sense of duty or doing it in a way that is not showing honor. Because, of course, even caring for the sick, if people are doing that, he said, in their homes or offices, but at the same time are reproaching weakness or even punishing weakness like it was a fault, well, he said that dishonors the elderly. And not only the elderly, but it dishonors everyone. And he said that this dishonor cries out for vengeance in the sight of God. And so the bottom line today, John, of the Pope's message was that young people should be taught to honor a life lived and to learn to love the elderly.
Well, Ashley, I think the Holy Father, as he himself has gotten older and is experiencing some limitations in how he's able to walk, he isn't able to participate in all the liturgies as he has in the past. I think he has such a great heart for the elderly, and this might be part of the reason why he's continuing to teach about the importance of loving and respecting the elderly.
Yes, exactly. And as you pointed out, John, we can see his own personal frailty. I mean, just for example, this past weekend, him participating in the various liturgies, but you can see the pain on his face as he walks down the long nave of St. Peter's Basilica. He has a lot of sciatica pain. He limps. So at 85 years old, we can see certainly that the demands of his position are quite a lot. And we're beginning to see the wear as well.
On another note, the Vatican is going to host a mass to commemorate the most unfortunate third anniversary of the Sri Lankan Easter massacre. What are some of the plans, Ashley?
Yes. In fact, it's amazing to think that 3 years have passed. It was the 21st of April in 2019 when this happened. And so there will be a celebration coming up on the 25th of April, presided over by His Eminence Malcolm Cardinal Ranjith of Sri Lanka, along with the Bishops' Conference of Sri Lanka. And to look back at what happened on that fateful day in 2019, it was Easter Sunday when three churches in Sri Lanka, as well as three luxury hotels, were targeted in a coordinated Islamic terrorist suicide bombings. And there were also explosions at a housing complex. Now, in total, that day, 269 people were killed and 500 were injured. And many say that although the Sri Lankan government promised justice, that justice has yet to be served. And to give an idea of what Catholicism on the island of Sri Lanka looks like, Catholics make up approximately 7%. So about 1.5 million people out of the 21.6 million population. And the faith goes back to the Portuguese coming back in 1505, who evangelized the area. And then in 1544, one of the leaders at the time chose to kill 600 Catholic converts, trying to dissuade people from converting to the faith. But of course, what happened was their blood planted the seeds for a huge conversion across the island. And it's said that those martyrs of Manar, those 600 martyrs who were so brave, are really responsible for the propagation of the faith on that island. So on the 25th, after that special mass presided by the Cardinal Ranjith of Sri Lanka, Pope Francis will indeed greet some of those victims of the attack right there in St. Peter's, John.
Well, Ashley, on a happier note, tomorrow is Rome's birthday, Roma's birthday. Aguri, how is it being celebrated?
Hey! Well, that's a good question, John. I mean, how do you celebrate your 2,775th birthday, right? What's the right way? Well, let me tell you. So this the birthday of Rome actually is based on the legendary founding of Rome by Romulus, that mythological story that goes back to 753 BC. And in addition to all the museums being free here on that day, there's a really special event that everybody waits for. And it's held in the Circus Maximus, that great big area in which there used to be ancient chariot races held. And what happens is that a dramatic society, the Gruppo Storico, an historic society, they reenact battles and events, and they do theater and dance in that area for the next 4 days, starting tomorrow. So it's exciting because it was canceled for the last 2 years. So people are ready to see these historical reenactments in person once again. There'll be about 1,500 people in costume who are going to participate. And they'll do things like tomorrow on Thursday, on the actual birthday, they begin with reenacting a trench digging ritual, this ancient trench digging ritual, where the Romans, as they would found a new town, they would dig this trench and throw different things in it to encourage the gods to watch over the town. There's going to be workshops that focus on Roman life, on school, what school would have been like in ancient times, the clothes they would have worn, the medicine, and how they practiced their religion. And then there's going to be gladiators who will show their weapons and their combat techniques. There's going to be a concert with Roman music. They're even going to play an ancient game called Herpastum, which is it's a ball game. It's said that it came from Greece originally and was brought to Rome, but they call it the ancestor of rugby today. There'll be a Dea Roma, the goddess of Rome, who gets crowned. But the moment that everybody's waiting for at the birthday celebration is, of course, the Gladiator show, John. You can imagine.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun. I'm sure the kids will love it. I loved yes. seeing the Roman centurions walking around the Colosseum, all dressed up in their their costumes from way back when. It's always a lot of fun. Finally, today is the feast of the Dominican Saint Agnes of Montepulciano. How is it being celebrated?
Well, you know, John, it's funny because that town of Montepulciano in Tuscany is so famous for its wines, but it's even more famous for the young Dominican who you just mentioned. So St. Agnes of Montepulciano was born in 1268. She was a young noble girl. She entered a convent. She became the abbess of Proceno. And in 1306, she founded a monastery there in Montepulciano. And her remains remain there in the church of St. Agnes, right in the center of the city of Montepulciano. And in fact, St. Catherine of Siena had a great prayerful devotion to St. Agnes of Montepulciano, who we celebrate today. So if we were all there right now, what's happening in Montepulciano is, first of all, they begin their novena through the intercession of St. Agnes today. And that will finish on the 1st of May. And then they will begin a procession through the streets of Montepulciano, carrying a statue, of course, of the young saint. There will be masses celebrated at the sanctuary of St. Agnes. And then the St. Agnes Fair will begin this weekend as well. So all kinds of festive ways to remember this great young noble saint and prioress.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.